This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Maya Tan, and you're listening to Careers Unusual, where we speak to people with jobs that are off the beaten path. For most of us, the only experience we have of looking for treasures buried deep in the sea is limited to watching documentaries on TV or animated movies with singing mermaids, but not for our special guest today. He's an authority on shipwrecks, having discovered and recovered 10 shipwrecks off the coasts of Malaysia and currently looking for his 11th shipwreck. In fact, the shipwrecks he has recovered span 1,000 years, with the youngest being 184 years old. Stein Sjostrand is the principal researcher and managing director of Nanhai Marine Archaeology and has dedicated the last 20 years to recovering shipwrecks and documenting his finds. Hello, Stein.
Hi, how are you doing?
Now, Stein, can you tell us about what led you to dedicate 20 years of your life to recovering shipwrecks?
Actually, it's 40 years.
Wow.
20 years I worked in Singapore, and during that time, I did a lot of research into ancient maritime trade and surrounding development. And, being a naval architect, my interest was in ships and shipbuildings. And then I saw pottery, ancient pottery in antique shops. And naturally, when I left Singapore and sort of retired, I started to look for shipwrecks in Malaysian water because, I could then study the ship construction, and hopefully pottery, and then into the surrounding development. So it's my work as naval architect, shipbuilder, sailor, diver, and with interest in surrounding development too, made it all.
Right. But what tipped you to the idea that, there are probably shipwrecks around this area? Did you have some knowledge or previous history?
Sure. Hmm. 20 years of research into maritime trade and looking at Malaysia, particularly looking at Malacca, and it's part of the history of maritime trade. You will know there's a lot of ships come from China, Vietnam, Thailand, and down to Malacca, and then out to other parts of Southeast Asia. And many of them sunk, by storms, by overload, by fire, and others sunk by rival trading partners like the Dutch and the Portuguese.
Mm.
So there's plenty of shipwrecks around the coast of Malaysia, yes.
Right. So what would the process involve? How do you even begin? Can you walk us through the different stages of a recovery project?
Well, that's many. To start with, you need to have an agreement with the government.
Mm.
Because all shipwrecks within 12 miles of the coast belongs to Malaysia.
Right.
And then you need to do some research. You need to find out, you need to go to archives, you need to go to history books, and you need to find out what ships possibly sank in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have done that, you have to buy a lot of expensive equipment, side scan sonar, magnetometer, sub-bottom profilers, et cetera, and then go out and sort of say, well, this ship may be sunk about this area. Then you start do a bottom survey, huge areas around that point. And if you're lucky, then you find the shipwreck.
Hmm. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you face when you're trying to locate and recover a shipwreck?
Well, the first one is, of course, to be in the right location of the shipwreck you're trying to find. And you have to realize if you look for a shipwreck like we do now, 400 years old, the definitions and the name of things have changed. They can talk about a hill or an island or something like that, but they will use different names. So you got to find out first, what is the proper name so that you're in the right area.
Hmm.
Then, of course, you must understand your equipment, the side scan sonars, and how it's an acoustic picture of the seabed, and you must be able to interpret that. And once you have done all of that, you just got to hang on there and day after day and keep on working in that area and hopefully find it.
Right. It must be very physically strenuous on you.
Yeah, it is. When you consider that everything is not a flat calm sea, you've got winds, you've got monsoons, you've got waves, you've got currents, and there's a lot of things sort of making it not so pleasant sometimes. But
right.
Then when you find a shipwreck, then everything is rewarded, and then everything is happy, and you're looking forward to the next phase of the work, which is recovery and excavation.
Right. So which seas and oceans have you worked in?
Mostly South China Sea.
Mm.
And quite recently, actually, in the state of Johor Water of Malacca Strait. But basically, South China Sea, because my interest lays in the ceramic developments of Thailand. And the Thai ships were sailing down South China Sea down to Indonesia, but they did not go through Malacca Straits.
Mm.
So South China Sea has been, the main interest of that reason. We did find one shipwreck over in Sabah. It's actually a looted shipwreck. It was discovered by somebody else, and we were just over there working for Sabah Museum and recover whatever we could recover from a 1,000-year-old site.
Wow. So tell me about the oldest shipwreck you've recovered.
That is one in Sabah. It's a 1,000-year-old ship, which is interesting in itself because even if it was looted, we still managed to find over 300 pieces of ceramics, which tells us that they were made in China,
mm-hmm.
which tells us that Borneo actually had maritime trade with China 1,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that well documented before.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start looking at the ceramics itself, because of the knowledge of pottery and the development, you can actually then date the site and you can say this is about 1,000 years ago that this ship sank.
Wow. So 1,000 years ago, that would make it 1014. 1014.
Yeah, well, you have to round. When you go back 1,000 years, you have to round it off.
Okay.
The best date we have actually on that shipwreck, because the pottery looked the same about, you say, 100, 150 years.
Mm.
So that it itself gives you spread, right? But we're looking at the year between 960 and 1,100, something like that.
Okay. You know, everyone has projects which were just particularly difficult. The waters were rough or things just don't go your way. What was your most challenging shipwreck?
The most challenging is it comes from the depth. It's a shipwreck we found off Trengano, and it lays in 63 meters of water.
Wow.
And 63 meters of water is pretty deep if you want to do a detailed excavation of whatever is there.
Mm-hmm.
Just give you some ideas. You diving on air, you can actually spend 15 minutes on the bottom itself working.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes you 1.5 hours to get up because you have to decompress. And you can only do that twice a day.
Wow.
So that's pretty challenging, and it's dangerous as well, unless you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever encountered anything supernatural under the sea?
No.
Okay.
No, there isn't. We always get that question, actually, not about supernatural, maybe that, that people die there, and is there any hantus or whatever? No, there's no hantus. The very simple reason that these ships and the crew on those ships actually lived on the deck.
Mm.
So when the ship goes down, these guys start swimming about and they never actually died on the site itself. And we never ever find a skeleton either of the very same reason. So no how to anything like that. No.
Right. And what would be the most valuable artifact you've recovered?
Well, valuable, you obviously mean in monetary term. And mm-hmm. we don't think about that. We think about it as in historical terms.
Right.
And we have one shipwreck called the Turian shipwreck. Found 100 miles out from the coast of Malaysia, 100 miles, which is a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And that one had a ceramic cargo from China, Vietnam, and Thailand.
Wow.
And that cargo, it shows that the ships went from China to Vietnam and on to Thailand.
Mm.
But the composition of that cargo tells us that everything else we knew about maritime trade and ceramic development before we found that shipwreck was actually wrong.
Mm.
Because if a ship sinks in one day and it has all those pieces there on board at that one time, it tells you that those ceramic areas and those countries were in trade at that very time.
Mm-hmm.
The history book tells us otherwise. So that is a very interesting thing. And every piece there is tremendously valuable.
Right. And how does it work, when you recover these artifacts, do they belong to you as in finders keepers, or does it belong to the state in which you find it?
If it is inside 12 nautical miles of the coast of Malaysia, it belongs to the government of Malaysia. And for that reason, you need to have the government contract.
Mm-hmm.
And that one generally says that we will do all the work, we will finance all the operations, we'll do all the research, we'll do all the publications of books and reports. And for that, we get to keep 70% of everything taken up.
Right.
The government, we then give 30%. And we give every single artifact, if there is only one of a kind, we will then give that to the government, in this case, the Natural Museum.
Right.
Then we will do exhibitions at the Natural Museum, which we have done a number of times. And then we publish our books and let everybody else know what it is we have found and how we have excavated and what it all means.
Right. So what do you love about doing this and why do you do this?
I like diving, but I'm also a very inquisitive person. Mm-hmm. I like to find out, you know, when you look at my Wanli shipwreck, for instance, all the references book before that says that certain things were made at certain dates, and I need to find out whether that's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
So finding a whole shipwreck cargo, you can then say, is all this correct, or have we learned something new? And if we have learned something new, I'd be very happy to write a report about it or publish some books.
Mm-hmm.
Share that information with other people.
Right. Well, some of the artifacts you recover are available for collectors. Where can they find them?
Like I said, 70% of what we take up belongs to us once we have finished the project.
Mm-hmm.
And we also sell some pieces in the Natural Museum, in the gift shop, mm-hmm. in Tanjung Jara Resort, Pangkor Laut. And that's where people can look at it. And the interesting thing about all of this is that they are totally unquestionable as far as authenticity is concerned. It's not a matter of, you know, going into an antique shop. You know, everybody knows when you go into an antique shop, a lot of things there are not as genuine as it is. But all the pieces we've taken up and we sell are, of course, absolutely genuine. Plus that they are backed up by research and of course, books and other publications.
Have you ever had to have it verified by specialists?
No, because I'm a specialist.
Yes, of course.
but I can tell you that you know, we have a very good name in the industry and amongst the museums. I think it's 15, 16 international museums who now display our artifacts because of proper dating and because of proper handling and registration.
Right.
And every time a ceramic expert or somebody else is coming to visit Malaysia, obviously they will come and visit us, right, to see what we have and share information.
Well, I'm very glad that you documented all your experiences within three books, and I'll definitely look them up to learn more about what you've done.
Yeah.
What are you working on next? When's your next expedition?
We are actually at sea right now off Johor looking for a ship which sunk 1630.
Wow.
And we know that it sunk, and we know the circumstances. It was lost in a battle with the Dutch, and it was put on fire and then eventually sunk. And just to give you some ideas, we actually been on that area for 3 years now.
I see.
Three years. Up and down. And, you know, Malacca Straits, also in South China Sea, the shipwreck sinks into the seabed. You can't see it on the side-scan sonar, which scans the surface only. You need to use magnetometer to try to pick up ferrous objects.
Mm-hmm.
And then the search lines, you run up and down, are very narrow. So it takes a lot of time. And then, of course, you have weather and wind. And, you know, when it's too rough, you can't run because you don't get a good picture out of the sonar, et cetera, et cetera. So,
I see.
But the sun is up sometimes, you know. And when the sun is up and, you know, and you have your coffee there, and it doesn't matter. You can sit there forever, you know. You have to love the sea.
Well, I hope you find it really soon. I wish you all the best of luck. And thank you very much for being with us.
Okay, my pleasure.
Stain Sjostrand, Master of Shipwrecks. You can also find out more by visiting maritimeasia.ws or mingwrecks.com. And go hunting for collector's pieces at the museum shop in Museum Negara. This is Careers Unusual, and I'm Maya Tan, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.